We're told in life that three is the magic number, and in sport, it's no different. From the bowler in cricket chasing that career-defining hat-trick.
Bowled him! What a beauty from Anderson! Full and straight! Off stumps gone!
To the football team attempting to complete a domestic treble that only once has been achieved in over 130 years of English football.
That is it. Watford are put out of their misery. Manchester City make history. The first team ever to complete a domestic treble of Premier League, FA Cup and League Cup in the same season.
In US sports, secure a three-peat or three championships in a row and you will forever be a legend. Just ask Michael Jordan and his Chicago Bulls.
The Chicago Bulls have won their sixth NBA championship and it's their second three-peat.
Unprecedented success on the field, on the court, on the track. That's what defines legacy. In the women's discus, there's one record every Olympian has been chasing, yet nobody has ever achieved, nor have they come close. It's that magic three, the hat-trick, the three-peat. Step forward Sandra Perkovic, the queen of discus and reigning Olympic champion.
She has turned it into a Golden Games again for Croatia. Perkovic, the champion. Look at that. Wonderful scenes of emotion. An amazing way to do it. You don't have to paint a picture. You just have to stand and claim the gold, and she will.
It's been 5 years since the Croatian took gold in Rio de Janeiro, equaling Evelyn Jahr's record to become just the second woman in history to defend her discus crown at the Olympic Games. Jahr's record had stood for 36 years before Perkovic blew away the field to take gold in Rio. And as luck or fate would have it, call it what you will, Perkovic's golden moment came on her third attempt inside the Olympic Stadium. Perhaps it was just coincidence, or perhaps it was a hint that the magic treble is written in her stars. And now the Croatian enters the Tokyo Olympics with history's gaze set firmly upon her. For the girl with the Midas touch, a date with destiny awaits. From European Athletics, this is Track and Field. I'm Peter Sanderson, your guide throughout this series as we hear the inside stories from some of Europe's leading athletes as they brace themselves for the biggest challenge of their lives, the Olympic Games. This is chapter 2 of the track and field story. And we pick up Sandra Perkovic's journey to greatness from where it all started, in her formative years in her hometown of Zagreb, Croatia. Perkovic's talent was spotted before she'd even become a teenager.
I started in the kindergarten because I went to the sports selection in the kindergarten, so I started to love sport right there. And when I started to go to primary school, I started to train track and field. The coach came to the school and picked a few students. So I was the one who was able to train in that time because track and field before 20 years was like a big, really big thing that you are chosen to be a track and field athlete. So I started with running and jumping and everything was like so cool. Lots of people, lots of training, good coach. But when I started to throw discus and when I started to throw with a shot put, of course, like every thrower, I think. And when I first time I don't want to say touch discus, when I see the disc and I see the technique and I see everything about the disc, I said like, oh my God, this is so, so nice. And I want to be a discus thrower. So I started to throw and I started to throw immediately very good.
This didn't go unnoticed and her coach, Ivan Ivancic, was soon predicting great things of the Croatian.
He said, you're going to be Olympic champion. At that moment, I was throwing 35 meters discus. And I said, oh, yeah, right. That's why one day I want to go to the Olympics and to become Olympic champion. And right now, in this moment, I'm sitting like a double Olympic champion discus throwing. So I think all my wish comes true.
To put this into perspective, Perkovic is now 31 and she's done it all in her sport. European champion, 2 times world champion and Olympic gold medalist. It was 17 years ago in 2004 when Ivancic spoke with his prophetic tone. He uttered those immortal words, Olympic champion, to Perkovic when she was just 14. It was a time when Ivancic, who we'll hear more about later in this story, was watching his young protege throw distances that are pretty staggering even now for an emerging athlete, let alone a teenager.
Already next year I threw 50 and 55, 59, 62, and right now I'm 71.
The discus queen had long been eyeing her throne. Yet when she started out in track and field, it was in a whole other discipline where she first started to turn heads.
I remember my first competition in shot put because I came there like a stranger and I throw exactly 7 meters and the first one was throwing 7.02. So the next time, next week, we have another competition. I said, I don't want to throw 7.02. I'm going to throw 7.20. And then know which result I threw? 8.50. So I think I remember that as my first child win. Like, I become the best shot putter in Zagreb.
Since her youth, Perkovic has been the ultimate competitor. At the European Championships in Barcelona 2010, she would show the continent the sort of medal that has seen her dominate her sport. Aged just 20, it was her first senior championship, and she needed to stare adversity deep in the eye before powering her way to glory.
As a junior and as a youth, every year you have some big competitions. So every year you're preparing. And the people after my junior career, they told me, like, Sandra, now you need to rest because you are going to the big girls. And you threw 62 as a junior, but that doesn't mean anything. So I started to train really hard and I make standard for Barcelona. So that was my goal for whole season. And we were training and the Diamond League just started and we were to start traveling every week, new town, jet lags, everything. I think I was handling very good with that. And then that moment, it was like June and the European Championships start. And in that moment, I have 66 meters and they told me that I was one of the favorite for a goal. But in that moment, I didn't look on this like that. You know, I threw 66 meters in a split on my home field. So I didn't throw further on some international meets. So when I don't do that, I don't think like 75 at home doesn't mean anything if you're not capable to repeat on some main competition. So I go there and the standard for the final was 61.50, I think. And I was having a really, really good warm-ups and it was like 1 p.m. The sun was up and it was really hot. And I thought, okay, you just go in and just turn around and throw the standard and go home. And then I have the first fall, and the second one was 57.70. And I was like, whoa, in that moment, I was like seventh in my group. And I was like, you're not going to pass the qualification. So you need to be focused and be in your zone. And then in third round, I really threw over 62 meters even, but it was a fall. So after my qualifications round, I sit on a tribune and I need to watch all second group and see which of the girls we're going to throw over me.
Perkovic sat there watching her rivals step up to the plate as they each, one by one, pushed her down the rankings. Come the end of the qualifying round, she was hanging on by all of a thread, but she had done enough to make the finals. Just.
And I saw on a table that I'm on the screen that I'm 10th and then I'm be tomorrow in a final. That was the happiest moment of my 2010. Even, okay, after my happiest moment was winning the European gold. But in that moment, I think I already won this competition.
She didn't just win the European Championships in Barcelona. Perkovic set the tone for what was to come in subsequent years. From 10th place at the close of day one, she would finish day two at the top of the podium with a gold medal around her neck. Perkovic waited until her last throw to sweep aside the rest of the field, throwing 64-67 as she bettered Romania's Nicoleta Grasu into second.
Now, what about Perkovic? Last chance for this young Croatian. Big and high, but is it going a long way? It is! And that is the lead for Sandra Perkovic of Croatia. What response can Nicoleta Grasu make? Sandra Perkovic in the last round of the European Championship final produces the throw of her lifetime.
It was an astonishing moment, one where the gasps of those inside the stadium could be heard in unison. It made Perkovic the youngest ever European champion in the women's discus throw. She's added another four European titles to her name since, the only individual to secure five gold medals at the European Championships.
You know, when you're competing in European Championship, you're competing in your country. It's Europe. When I'm European, so I want to be the best European. And when I'm going to the World Championship or the Olympics, I represent Europe there. I don't know why, and I don't know why is that happening. Of course, I'm representing Europe then. Croatia, of course, Croatia is for me in the heart. So I always, the big competitions like World Championship and Olympic Games, I'm always in better relation with the Europeans, not the others. So I think there is a special connection between me and Germans, because Germans are other best at discus throwers in the Europe. So in every European Championship, we had a big, big fight, and I'm glad that I have five goals. But European Championships is the first big competition as a senior I won. So it's have a special place in my heart.
Her love affair with the European Championships continued last time out in Berlin 2018. To her fans, a gold always seems the only outcome, but competing in Germany came with its own challenges that Perkovic had to wrestle with internally.
I didn't think of Berlin like a competition. I did it there in Berlin because I opened my 2018 in Doha with 71-38, and I thought it's going to be a very, very good year and going to be easy year. And every time when I think on some year like this, it's never happened easily. So after the Doha, when I come back home, I have some little injuries. So during the whole season, I was like struggling with my back problems, but I managed to handle with that problem. And in that moment, when I came to Berlin, I know I was ready for the gold, and I know that I can throw 65 or more wherever I want. And I was having a really good qualification round, and I was like feeling the stadium, and it's remembering me on 2009. And 10 years later, I'm still there and chasing my fifth victory in the European Championship, which is like such a big thing for me. And when I opened my competition and when I see that 59, and I said, okay, you open it, you have a safe one, just continue throwing. And then when I see the second one is 59, and then I see a fall, and it was like I become really, really stressed in that moment. And I wasn't scared in any of moments, but I was stressed because I know I worked for more, and only 63 meters was enough for a win, and I really can throw 63 meters whenever I want.
Frustrated with her performance, Perkovic had some harsh words for herself as she internalized what she described as a below par display, saying to herself,
you're stupid, you're the best here, and you're like throwing what, 59 meters, even not 60, 59 meters. And I said, you have two attempts, don't make the history made in the last one. Because you know what happened in athletes' head in the last round when they need to defend something or do something. In most of the cases, they don't do anything.
Her internal powers of persuasion worked.
I just focus and give my best of my fifth round. And when I see that 67, 99 meters, I say, oh my God, finally, thank you. Thank you. I know that none of the girls can beat that because it's a really, really huge distance. But so I was in that moment, I was like, everything is cool. You're a European champion. You have five goals in a row.
So it is Perkovic, after all, who has achieved history by winning now a fifth consecutive European title. Here's a great champion. Five gold medals to go with those two Olympic golds, those two World Championship golds. She's the superstar of the discus of the last decade.
That moment I saw my mother, which I didn't know they are there. So I was like, what are you doing here? Crazy. Because in every moment when I threw 59th, I think, oh my God, mom is watching on television and probably she is like really, really sad, or she is cursing something, or oh mom, sorry. And I remember after my fifth round, I turned to the cameraman and I said, mom, I'm sorry, I still love you. But my mom was on a tribune, so it was even more special moment for me after the competition.
It's that character and mentality that the world of discus has to face in Japan. Any woman who wants to take that gold has to fight their way through Perkovic and her iron will to succeed. When she's struggling, off form, or looking off her best, it's when she's at her strongest. She transforms that vulnerability into a formidable asset, and since London 2012, nobody has been able to match her on the biggest stage. In the European Championships, it's now over a decade since she conceded defeat. She's simply phenomenal. And it all comes back to her coach, Ivan Ivancic, the man who spotted her raw talent and helped nurture Perkovic into the leading lady we see today, the discus queen.
I remember the words of my coach, he said, it's never end till it's end.
That's the philosophy that has got Perkovic through her toughest moments. Ivancic's words echoing in her psyche as she competes against her rivals and her inner demons.
Ivan is a very important person in my life. Unfortunately, he passed away in 2014 after my final in Zurich, after I won my Diamond League. But he was like a coach, he was like a father, because he was old, we were calling something like grandfather. He was a very good teacher. He learned me lots of things, which I'm still learning from him, because I can hear his voice, I can hear his words. He was a special person. He was like he was a coach 24/7. He came in 7 a.m. at the stadium, leave the stadium in 9 p.m. He was having a family, but me and all his family knows that sport was his family. He was giving our athletes and to me and to other athletes which he was training maximum, and he was like the person who gave me so much power in the moment when I was thinking that I'm not good enough for something or I can do something. He always knows what to say, how to say to make me feel like I'm the number one. So I think relation between coach and athletes is so important, and I don't know any athlete who is so great without coach. You know, we athletes are like ego trippers, so we all think that we can train and we can be the best without our coach, but that is not true, because you need to have a leader, you need to have somebody who will show you the way that you are number one. Sometimes on practice, I can still feel him. I don't know, you know, when it's hard and when I don't have focus on something. And my coach right now is Edis Elkasevich, and he was also former athlete of Ivan Ivancic. So he knows who is Ivan Ivancic, and he knows how much power he gave me. So we both respect him. So sometimes when it's hard, we know, make jokes, Ivan's jokes. I know to say like, what will Ivan said? He will say this, this, and this. I think he will be in the air every day of my practice. He's all my victories because I start with him, and I think, and I know I will finish my career with him because he made me to be Olympic champion. He showed me the way. He gave me his best advice. He gave me power, courage, and respect for the others. So I'm still using that gifts from him and enjoying to be the number one in discus throw.
It's those ties that bind that remain strongest for Perkovic. From her relationship with Ivancic, the coach whose spirit she can still feel as she trains, to her mother who raised her as a single parent. Those relationships remain the strongest influence as she chases down history in Tokyo. And with all that behind her, is it any wonder that Perkovic is already one of the greats?
My mom is the biggest support in my whole life. She knows me the best. She knows everything about me, and she's really honest. She's a really good mother, and she's my idol. One day when I grow up and have my own kids, I want to be like her, because she gave us, to me and my brother, everything she can. She's a really big fighter. My mom divorced from my father when I was 5 years old, so she was struggling the whole year, whole life, only herself. And we thank God we have also her mom, our grandmother, so it was easy with her. But can you imagine that you have two kids and you have only one job, and we all have needs, and we go to school, go to training, to buy shoes, to buy this and that, and then go to sport camp. She wants to afford to a sport camp, but she's not able to afford to. So it was like really struggle for her, but she gave her best. And because of her, I'm the person who you see right now. She make me strong, she make me courage, and she make me realistic. She teach me that every year I need to work like it's my last year, and I need to give more than 100% myself to something if I wanna be the best.
Wow, amazing.
She's the best.
She's the best. I love your mum as well. Well done, Mrs. Perkovic.
thank you.
Next time on Track and Field.
I've always been used to winning. And then I started racing against older guys, and then it was all about beating them. But I was not good enough, and then it was just get home working, and then eventually beating them as well. My name is Jakob Ingebrigtsen. I'm from Norway, 20 years old, and a 1500 meter runner.
You've been listening to Track and Field, a Highway 61 production from European Athletics. This episode was presented by myself, Peter Sanderson. Gary Hayes and I wrote the series together, while Gary is also our producer alongside Karina Vigo. Our consultant producers for this series are Kerry Levy, Nick Latworth, and Jackie Ankerlund. Sound mixing is by Taylor Hayes, who also composed the track and field music. The podcast artwork and social content is produced by Matt Alabaster. Our thanks go to Christian Mills, Rob Faulkner, and everyone else involved at European Athletics for helping make this series a reality. If you'd like to know more about athletics, visit the website european-athletics.com. Please rate and review Track and Field wherever you listen, as it helps make the series more visible. And if you've enjoyed this episode, visit highway61.media for more podcasts just like this one. That's HWY61.media. Or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at HWY61_podcasts. This has been another Highway 61 production.